Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie. Good morning. Tell you, we have just hit a milestone in the holidays. I mean, it seems like it's been a long 2020. Whew. But in reality, the same amount. Same amount of hours, same amount of minutes and seconds. It's just all about your interpretation, how you perceive it, and the conditions that make us think, will we ever get through this? So I'm hoping that everybody had a great Thanksgiving and that they were safe, and that they used sanitations and just, you know, the mask and did everything that possibly could to be safe and to keep other people safe around you. So a lot of prayers going out to people that traveled, hoping that they did their very best to make everybody else safe as they travel from one place to another. So yes, we are now past Thanksgiving and we're headed to that next big event for 2020, and that is the Christmas holidays. It's going to be interesting. Let me go and get find my guest here.
Good morning. How are you, and how are you, audience?
I am great. I am great.
Good job.
You sound a little distant. I don't know if it's just might be the technology.
I hear you fine.
Okay, now
sure
you're better. You're good. You're good now. If you do what you're doing now, that comes across really good. Very good.
Okay.
So how was your holiday? Let me get Deborah on.
Okay.
Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. How's everybody?
Just fine.
Everybody's fine.
Deborah, before we get started, can you give us a prayer this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to say thank you. We come to have a continuation of giving thanks. We thank you for loving us when we didn't love ourselves. We thank you for giving us grace and mercy. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. We ask right now that you will have your way today, that you will give us what we need, not only for the audience, for us first, Lord. We thank you for using us and thanking you for all that you're going to do to us. We thank you once again. I'm just thanking you for everything. Thank you for the breath I breathe, Lord. Thank you for the limbs, the feet, the neck, the ear, the eye. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for mother and daughters. Thank you for Dr. Bessie and Cynthia. Thank you for every. Just thank you. I just thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you every day. We come to say thank you. We want to just continue to be in the midst of a spirit of thanksgiving because, Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You woke us up, you didn't have to do it, but you did. You got us going on the radio, no incidents, no accidents. You didn't have to do it, but you did. So we just want to say thank you, Lord. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Forgive us for the times that we took all those things for granted, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Forgive us. Help us be better, Lord. Help us be better. Going into a new year, let us continue to give you thanks, 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 and thanks. Lord, have your way. Just want to say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful prayer this morning. And I heard you, Deborah. And, you know, I could feel you. The thanks. It is a time to really, as I tell people, dig deep. You know, when you get out of your just being selfish, dig deep and look at where God has brought you from. Look at all the things that could have been different. The results could have been different. But then God chose to give you another chance and pick you up and lead you out of that into, as they could say, the marvelous light. So I was asking you, Cynthia, how was your holiday weekend?
My Thanksgiving was absolutely amazing.
Thanksgiving.
It was just, I can't complain. It was awesome. It really was awesome. Just being used by God, just in the neighborhood and in my apartment complex, you know, just sharing with others, because I knew that that's what he would have me to do, and that's what we did. And it was just absolutely amazing to be able to share and just know that somebody wasn't hungry this weekend, this Thanksgiving day. And that's my prayer, just as we say, we talk to mothers and daughters around the world, my daily and nightly prayer when we have dinner is that he's pressing upon the hearts of his people to feed the least, the lost, and the forgotten around the world. And so my Thanksgiving was absolutely phenomenal. It was phenomenal. In spite of the fact that I wasn't with my children, it was awesome. If I had to seek for a word, that's the word I would give it. So
it was good.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw your pictures last night that you post.
Mm-hmm.
And on the counter, I saw that big white gravy. Was that
mm-hmm.
gravy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, she had to laugh, audience, because
I'm going to say you dropped it.
That didn't fall off. It fell off the what was left. I had already distributed the plates and stuff, but that fell off when it was time for me and Al to eat. I was like, woo woo.
Okay.
But it was good, girl, the little bit we had.
Yeah. You look like you had a spread there. Deborah, how was your Thanksgiving?
I tell you, I had a great time. I went to work on purpose because I had said I wasn't going to go with family because the CDC was saying stay with your household. So I go to work every day. I'm with them every day. So that was my household. And I tell you,
amen.
It was just awesome. They had a spread. They had a spread out this world, and it was plenty of food. And you know, we let one of the guys pray, and then everybody that came and got a pray. So you know what he was thankful for, you know.
Amen.
And it was just a good day. And I'm just thanking God because I haven't worked. I believe that was the first holiday that I worked since I've probably been with the company 7 years, and it was just. It was different, but it was a blessing. And one of the bright sides, I got to make a joke about this. Usually I go with my family, and I'm probably $70 minus and probably exhausted. So I saved 70. I wasn't exhausted. And I got a great time. Mm. So, I mean, so they say you stay home, you save some money. So, usually I'm putting in whatever. About $70.
All right.
Because I'm going to the store. So, I'm a winner all the way around. I just thank God. I just thank God for the experience. And like I say, the ability to save a couple dollars. Because I go early and I clean up and I stay late and I clean up and I come back and the next day I need somebody to get me out of bed, you know. So I thank God for all those things.
Amen. See, those are blessings. Those are blessings a lot of people don't be thankful for. I tell you, know, God to do some things and he bring money to you. He bring money to you in different ways, and you have to count all those ways. You know,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That $70 come in handy for something else. Put some gas in the car for the next 2 weeks or something. You know, God
mm-hmm.
always know how to help us help ourselves. That's wonderful.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And how was your Thanksgiving, Dr. B?
My Thanksgiving was great. It was great. I was blessed. I say it's so nice to have a grown daughter that can cook. I mean, she's just an image of me and my mother. I told her, I said, you're just such a good cook. And then my son-in-law, he's an excellent cook. And, of course, his grandmother, every Thanksgiving, he cooks with his mother. And they feed the whole family. I mean, 50, 60 people come through there. And I knew he was lost this Thanksgiving. He even left and went to his grandmother's house and stayed over there for a while. And I told my daughter, I said, he just got to go over there and be in space. But he cooked, had his towel across his shoulder. He fried those turkeys and made potato pie and potato poon or something other else. And they was in there, the two of them cooking. I said, you know what? And both of them are old people. They are just old people lovers. Got pictures on the wall of old people. Now, I just think they're anointed to help older people, let me say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now, they're going to do. I see it. I told Angie, I said, fella going to take on that role of his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
He brought some of her pots and stuff, her favorite pots up to the house. And you could just see it. He's just cooking and feeding and fixing the plates. And I said, oh, yeah. Because that's what he's used to doing every Thanksgiving. But he used to doing it for a lot of people. When the men were looking at, well, he in there cleaning up with his grandmother and tearing down the tables and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So I knew he was
mm-hmm.
lost. But I kept saying, what am I going to do? And my spirit said, just let them do it. You know, he needs that space. And so I didn't go over there till she called me, Mama, 2 o'clock, if you're going to come and fix this your dish, you better come on. I said, I'll be there in a minute. Because I wanted to make sure they were all done. And so they had turkey, and Angie and I had lobster and lobster tails and shrimp, and then we put it with everything else. But they did a great job, and I just went and did my little piece, didn't take but a minute or two. And we just had dinner, and just the five of us. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Six of us. It was just six people. And everybody just spread out. We had the table on the outside, but it rained, and it was, even though the sun came out, it was too moist out there to sit. So we kind of spread out, and everybody chill out for a while. And they went to, the kids went to my grandson's house he's building. So it was a great time. And then I got up and said, well, you know what? I'm full as a tick, and I done spent my time now. Drop my coffee, I'm on the way. And they left and went camping. So I thank God that everybody got through it, and fella was, you know, was pretty good with it. So God blessed us. We had food to eat, clothes on our back, and we helped some people, and, you know, you just do what you do and keep it moving. So mothers and daughters out there, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I hope that a lot of love and a lot of thanksgiving and a lot of forgiveness in your recipes for this past weekend. Because, you know, Deborah and Cynthia, you know how it is when you have a lot of people together. Sometimes somebody can get the feeling hurt, or they've got some old resentments that are lingering in your mind, and, you know, and just can make a good time miserable. So I pray that everybody really was in self-control and was able to be appreciative even more this Thanksgiving because of what the world is going through. And I'm thinking, can we just get past the pettiness and look at how grateful we should be that God allow us to be here when so many people are gone from last year's time to now? The millions of people have been affected and the millions of people that have died? Come on. If that don't let you realize, hey, let me just tighten up, because you never know. Like you say, Cynthia, you can run from it. No, you can't run from it, or you might mess around and run to it, or whatever you say.
Yeah, you can't run from it, but you can run dead into it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you just never know, you know, when you let your guards down. And like this family said, they had a small gathering of 13 people thinking, well, this is family members. We all family, and we're pretty sure everybody's safe, and everybody caught it. People in the hospital, 13 members, and then 12 members and three other people got caught it. And that, I guess from the 12, somebody went in the midst of three other people, and it ended up 15 family members just from one little event that they thought was a birthday party that it would be safe because it was just their family. So you never say. And I just, you know, I sit with my mask on the whole time. Now, they sit around. There was distance, yes, but they everybody was at least 6, 7, 8 feet apart, but they didn't have their mask on. I was sitting right up in there with my mask on. I never took it off except for the eat. I ate, and I ate from everybody, and I told them I'm not trying to be funny. It's just that I'm going to try to follow the rules. God honors
absolutely
those who follow the rules, you know?
Amen.
So, but other than that, it was good, it was good, it was good. All righty then. I am so glad that we are back. I tell you, we're headed into the holidays. We just about to end our 12th year, ladies, December the 9th. I'm telling
you. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
December the 9th. Where did the time go? And God just keep. I say to him sometime, you guys, I say, God, I know you see us. I know you see us. We are dedicated. We are determined to do what you ask us to do. And I tell it by, you know, our health and our prosperity. And you know, we got a place to stay. And think about it. We're driving good cars and we're eating. And, you know, your health is good. And better is yet to come. That's the good part about it. So, ladies, I'll do my piece, and I'll come back and get your opinion on what the Lord has placed on my heart this morning.
Okay, Doctor, just to let you know, you're cutting in and out a little bit.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know that.
All right, let me see what that's about. Can you hear me now, and it's okay?
I hear you at this moment. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm using the switchboard,
the
phone on the switch.
Okay,
I want to make sure.
But you're you're fine now.
Yeah, I see what's going on. It's that whenever my it want to, you know, you got the adjustment on, it stays up for about 30 seconds and go off. So I think that's what. Right there. Okay. All right. And thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, audience. Let's see if we can make this happen without any interruptions. I know new technology, they keep changing. They just changed this whole switchboard. So there's a lot of learning curves here again. Every time I think I get it down pat, then they come back with new technology. So, you know, hey, that's the way of the world. Our topic today, it's mother and daughters. How many masks are you wearing? How many masks are you wearing? You know, when you think about that, when the Holy Spirit told me about the topic, you know, I wasn't thinking about we're actually wearing masks. We are really wearing masks. You know, it's mandatory in my state now that you cannot go outside without a mask. This was mandatory as of Wednesday at 5:00. Anybody caught with a mask could be fined and charged. And possibly, depending on how you handle it, you can end up in jail. And so it was amazing. I went out to a story yesterday, one that's very popular for most people. And everybody had on a mask. Everybody had on a mask. Usually you see a group of people walking around and they just, you know, I'm just not going to wear it. And I'm not condemning anybody because everybody can have choices. You can do what you want to do. But with that law being mandatory, I'm assuming they wouldn't even let you in the store because then they will be held accountable. So it was just amazing, and it was a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling because when you have on your mask and you see a group of people that don't have on theirs, they're looking at you like you crazy, and you looking at them like they crazy. So, you know, it just be some stare downs going around. You know, you're looking at them, they look, you try not to look, and they looking at you and trying not to look because, you know, like, she got on that mask. You do sometimes, depending on how you wear it. It covers your face, and it can be kind of scary because you don't really know who the person is. You could just see the eyes, and so it's a disguise, and it throws you off because then I'm assuming a lot of times when you see the top of the person's eyes and the forehead, you're kind of wondering who it is. It may look familiar, if you don't know, you know, kind of a thing. So we are in the timing for wearing masks. But that's not what the Holy Spirit was talking about this morning. He was talking about mothers and daughters. How many masks are you wearing? We wear so many masks. And so I looked and said, okay, what's up? What is a mask? What is it? We have our interpretation of a mask. But the two things that I found out was, one, just to get a clear definition, was one, a mask is to protect you against dust, pollen, viruses, and to prevent infection. That mask will cover you and keep it from entering into your nostrils or your mouth. And therefore, you know, you can, you know, if you're allergic to something or, you know, it's going to from getting dust and all this stuff into your nostrils and causing hay fever and things of that nature. But, you know, people that wouldn't really want to walk around with a mask, let's say if we wasn't in the mask wearing business right now, and you know you want to keep dust and allergies away from you, you feel real strange walking in a place with a mask on because, you know, everybody's going to look at you. So most people just suffer the consequences. I'll take an allergy pill or I'll do this, that, and the other, rather than being singled out with a mask and everybody's looking at me. And that's one way you wear a mask. The second way you wear a mask is to cover the face as a disguise, or to amuse, or even to terrify other people. And that's the mask that we want to talk about today. We want to talk about the mask, mothers and daughters, that you wear. And some people says, well, I don't wear a mask. I'm straight out. I come straight at you. You know, if I got something to say or something to do, you know, I just come on out with it. And that may be true. But we all wear masks. Come on, let's just be honest. Because we are different people with different people. If you're in an event, at an event, and it's a black tie, and you got on your best, you're not going to go in there acting a fool and breaking down and crazy and this, that, and the other. You're going to do what? You're going to put on your mask of intelligence. And I am intelligent and I am supposed to be here. I'm equal. You're going to put on your best behavior. That's what they used to say. Best behavior is a mask. And then you got another mask that you put on with your friends that you can laugh and joke and act a fool and everybody's okay because that's who you all are when you're having fun. That's that mask. And then you got a mask for your job and the people that you deal with. You got a mask for your boss. You're not going to go in front of your supervisor acting crazy. When you walk in that office, you all of a sudden switch into another mask. Or it's the same body. It's the same mind. But you change that persona on your face because you want them to know I'm serious. If you're in there and you're talking about finances and you joke and acting crazy and telling jokes, you know, people are like, no, this is finances. We're trying to get these numbers right. We ain't got time for that craziness now. What, you know, we got to turn in this report. So you know where you need to change the mask. But with mothers and daughters, there's a mask. See, when you become pregnant, you put on a mask. Because now all of a sudden, you're looking out to people as a woman pregnant and getting ready to move into motherhood. So now you want to change maybe the way maybe you used to do business because you want to concentrate. I have a live human being growing inside of me. Now, this doesn't happen to everybody. I'm just giving an example. But most people, when they get pregnant, they take a shift in their consciousness because they're like, oh, I can't be crazy and silly now or selfish because now I got to prepare. Hopefully in 9 months, God is going to deliver this human through me and I've got to be ready. So then you have a mask on of an expectancy. And then the child is born and you become a mother. And then you have the mask on of a mother. And then you wear that mask and you're constantly changing that mask according to the growth of the child. Because when in your arms and you look into her eyes, you're in one state. But then as she grows up and starts laughing, she's 6 months old and she's talking, not literally talking, but you know, goo-gooing and whatever and laughing and stuff. Now you got another mask because now you got to grin and smile and goo-goo back with the baby. So we're changing masks. And masks can be okay. But it's when you get to the point where you got a mask on, a mask mothers that you know now, you're thinking, well, she's 13 and she's old enough to know better. Now you got this hardened up the heart. You're not grinning and you're not talking and you're not being gentle and you're not looking in her eyes and you're not trying to really understand what she's going through at 13. She's never been 13 before. And if it's your only child, you know, you've never had a daughter at 13 before. So everybody is changing and shifting. If you're not careful, your daughter will put on a mask of I don't care. I don't like you. You make me sick. She don't understand. So now she's got on this mask. I'll just do whatever I have to do just to get through this because when I get 18, I'm out of here. So when you see her and you're talking to her and she's looking at you, she's got on this mask. Yes, ma'am. Okay, but that's the mask because underneath there's a hidden secret. There's a hidden agenda. No matter what you say to me, I still don't like you because, see, there was something that was not resolved. It was not resolved. And so all of a sudden, she put on a mask. And then, mother, you got on. You're busy with life. You're busy with whatever things that you're going through in relationship. Or if you have other children, you got many masks because you got to be a different person for each child. You know, some people say to me, they come in my office as a Christian clinical psychologist, and they would sit there and say, you know, I treat all my children the same. And I said, well, that's pretty sad. What do you mean sad? How can you treat all your children the same when they're different individuals? God didn't make them the same, so it's impossible to treat them the same. You can say that, but that's impossible. You can't treat all children the same. Not if you're being real with them, because they all come with different personalities, different little quirks, and some of them, some you might have one that wants to be quiet and to herself and really like to just sit back and read or kind of disconnect from everybody, just into herself. That's her personality. And then you might have one that's a big jokester, always grinning and kidding and cutting up, and you know. And then you might have one that just really a computer person that just always researching, developing, and trying to create something. So how can you treat all three of those individuals the same? And as I tell a mother, you have to switch according to the child, and you have to go into that child's world. If your daughter is quiet, go into her world. Just sit. Be still. You don't have to do a lot of talking. How are you doing? What can I do? You know, what is it that you, whatever she's doing in there, get on the floor if you can and sit and do whatever she's doing and let her know, whatever you're doing, I'm with you. When you leave that one, go get on the computer with the young person and say, you know, what is it that you're looking up? Well, let them explain. They're talking, you know, because they want to educate you. This is what I'm doing, and I found this information. I'm trying to figure out how I can take this information, put with this information. I'm going to build this system that is really going to be so unique, Mama. Really? And how's that working? Now show me, because Mama don't know a lot about the computer, so you can educate. Now he's feeling empowered, and he feels like, I can tell her, and we can talk about this. And then that will be a conversation no matter when, if you're in the car, if you're at dinner, whatever. Mama, you know what? I found some information we was talking about the other day. So now you're engaging. You're engaging. And then you got that one that's the jokester. Then ask it, what's the funniest thing you heard today? You know, he's going to tell you something. Mom, you won't believe what I heard. You won't believe what I found out. Or they'll start sending you something on text, you know, because what they're doing is communicating. So there's many masks that you will have. But the worst mask, I believe, that can hurt a mother and daughter relationship is when a mother denies herself, her daughter, the truth. When you are wearing a mask that you're hiding behind, that you know that you are hiding behind a lie, it's going to follow you throughout your relationship. Especially when your daughter comes and asks you a question she already knows the answer, and you put on the lying mask. And she said, well, Mama, why did that happen? I don't understand that. You tell her something that's not the truth, and she knows that you're not telling her the truth. Now you done create a whole nother level of relationship and communication with your daughter, because she's saying, wonder why she told me that? Because that was just a lie. Because she's already seen the truth. She knows the truth. So why would you do that? And then now you have a daughter, 23. She remembered when you lied to her. She knew you when you didn't tell her the truth. Now you have a daughter, 40-something, and you all are doing the fluff relationship. How you doing? Good. How's the children? Oh, they're doing good. Good. Oh, when the last time you did so-and-so? Well, it doesn't. Just, you know, I hate people with little conversations like that. I don't mean to say hate. But, I dislike that, because I tell mothers and daughters, what are you talking about? It has no substance. You're not helping her, and she's not helping you. You're just bluffing. What about, what are you doing, and how can I help you? If there's anything that you're going through, just know I'm here for you. Some things you might not want to tell me, but I can tell you going through something. And I want to share with you a time. Take off the mats. I want to share with you a time when I went through something. And if you can think of something that you know that's very similar or close to what you think your daughter's going through, then share it. Take the mask off. She will be healed. She will be freed. And I'm telling you, it will energize, rebond, and reconnect you guys in such a loving way. Because that's all they want. They just want a mama who's not so perfect that they can talk to. Someone that can say, I understand. Because, you know, I made so many mistakes. And what I can do, I can share my mistakes with you to keep you from having to go through what I went through. If I look back, when I look back over my life and seeing the things that I went through, I wish I had someone that would have told me, would have been honest with me. We got to cut the ribbon, mothers and daughters. We can't do it the way our mothers did it. They did what they did. But as each generation come along, we're educated, we're exposed to more people, more things, more learning curves. Anything you want to know, ask Google. You want to know anything about mothers and daughters, you know, we're here to share what we know. Group of mothers coming together that can help each other and help young girls grow, especially for those who don't have a mother. So as long as you keep the mask on, you'll wake up at 80 and your daughter will be somewhere in her 60s, her late 50s, and she'll do just enough to stay out of shame, but not enough to show you love, total love, because she felt she never got it from you. Okay, Deborah.
I tell you, I'm just sitting here, you know, thinking about the word mask, and you broke it down because, you know, I thought about, you know, me and Pauline, you know, so when I'm working, it's Miss Pauline. When we, after hours, it's Pauline, and you know, and like you say, I know when to go in there and joke. When we got a project, it ain't trying to be humorous. It's trying to be serious. And, you know, I like the way you did that scenario. And so, you know, one of the things that came to my mind about, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I heard some background. One of the things that came to my mind about, you know, mothers, you know, wearing the mask and not, you know, not want to tell an ugly story, you know, not want to share, hey, you know, I wore that hat. I wore that mask. I wore that face in that place. I've been there. I ain't just grew up to be 40, 50, 60, and ain't never went nowhere that I shouldn't have been at some point in my life, you know. And so I think it's imperative that we allow them to see the transparency and what we used to do, not that we're there anymore. Maybe we are, maybe we're not, but the, you know, the kids, the girls need to see, especially, you know, starting to grow up and develop and things start to just to spread out and attention starts to come and the pressure starts to come. You got to know that everything that they whisper in your ear ain't true. Everything that he tell you ain't, don't, you know, don't fall for the okey-doke like I fell for the okey-doke. That's how you came on the scene. You know, your daddy whispered something sweet in my ear and told me how fine my curves was and my breasts and my lips and my eyes and whatever he had to say and swept me off my feet. And, you know, this is a result of me not being strong enough to resist the things that they're going to face. You know, it might come from the same sex. It's going to come, though. You know, and so they prepare them for, those chapters in their life that they're going to experience. You know, how do I deal with getting the compliments? How do I deal with getting attention and not sell myself short? Meaning, you know, not forfeit my opportunity to be the wife and settle for being the cow with the milk. You know what I mean? And how do I have conversations with her how I gave up the milk? You know, in other words, they figure if they can get the milk free, why buy the cow? You know, I'm trying to put it decent. You know, and so you got to let them know that, you know, I gave the milk up. They didn't buy me. They didn't buy a cow. And how can you not forfeit the opportunity to be able to go and have your career and be able to do what you do and get financially stable? And then think about, you know, having that relationship that God is going to send, is going to bless you with a man, is going to reverence you, that's going to cherish you, that's going to respect you, and that's going to put a ring on it, and that's going to be a godly man. And how do I hold out, in other words? And so I believe that it's important that we share those things where we fail and where we wasn't quite as strong. So this is what happened to me. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It's a season. It goes and comes. So believe me, there's nothing new that they're going to say, well, Mom, you never experienced this. Or maybe it won't be the mom. It might be the auntie. Or it might be the godmother. It might be the grandma. Maybe the mom didn't experience it. Maybe she got married before she, who's the same with the scenario one. But there's information that can be passed down. And if we take the mask off, that we arrive, that we so holy, so heavenly minded, we ain't no earthly good, that we just be transparent and say, hey, I didn't make it. I failed at the test. The test of life, the test of giving love, the test of showing you, you know, maybe it's because I didn't get it, whatever reason, I didn't pass the test. Not to say that you were illiterate, you were dumb, or you didn't have it, but I failed the test. And so I want to help you prepare for the test, and so that you will pass the test, because the tests are coming. And so information is important. Taking the mask off is important. Hey, because I tell people, I say, listen, when I was out there looking ugly, olive oil all sucked in, 90 pounds soaked wet, 2 bricks in my pocket, it wasn't no secret because whoever came by seen. But now I ain't got a couple pounds on the 2 minute truth be told. Now I want to act like, no. God said, hey, I need my glory. Tell your story. Take the mask off. It ain't always been like that. You worried about what people think. You weren't worried about it when you was olive oil. When you was the olive oil out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, take the mask off. But how you going to win somebody over if they don't ever see where you've been? They just see you right now. They think that you know, a godly woman, you got good principles, you're respectful, you're mannerable, you're kind, you're funny, you all that. Show them the story. Show them, hey, it always been that. Take the mask off. Not that you got to walk around and put it on your forehead and on your shirt and on your back. And you know, but God will lay on your heart when they take the mask off. He lay on your heart when they let some people see into me, see. Into me, see how I got where I am and what's keeping me going. And here's the tests I took. Some of them I didn't pass, but I'm able to share with you my studies that didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so God is saying, hey, take the faith off. Pastor Paul says, I became, I know Cynthia looking for me, I became what the people were to reach them. Meaning I came on a level, whether it was up or down, I made the adjustment, I got there. Like you say, go in the room, had a conversation, what you looking at, what you studying, you know, going this, or why you, what's going on with, you know, you got, like you say, different faces, different places. Not that you're being phony or anything, but it's just you deal with different people different ways. And so Apostle Paul say, I became, I mean, he wasn't, but he became what the people were to reach him. Because that's what God is saying. I need you to reach him. I gave you a gift. The child is a gift. I gave you a gift. I need you to find a way to reach. You there every day, all day. You know what they like, what they don't like. Find a way to reach. And you summed it up when you say, go in that room. They're on the computer. And every person want to be a teacher, not a student. So I assume the role as a student so you can teach me so I can get that common ground with you and you let your guard down. Then I slide a little, you know, word enough, not overbearing, not too much, just enough to leave it, plant the seed and come back. Somebody awarded, but God will get an increase.
Amen.
So, yeah, possible. I became what they were. To reach them. In other words, I put the face on in the place because I needed them to see that I looked like them in order for them to let the guard down so I can get the word in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he did.
Amen.
Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, that's great. You know, what I was thinking, Deborah, when you were talking was the biggest mask that people wear is when they go on that first day. Oh, my gosh, who are you? You know what I mean? People put on a mask, and in fact, I was something on last night that kind of alluded to that, you know, because you go out and you're eating very nice and you act like you don't eat a lot, and you're putting on and trying to gather data and what have you, and give it about 3 or 4 dates, and then all of a sudden you're eating and fish and bone at the same time. You know, you just take the mask off. And then the person's like, well, who is this? This is not the person who met, the, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Because what? You have a mask. It's better to just say, look, this is who I am. Can you deal with this? Because then I think it gives you longevity. Just like a guy being real nice. And then after he gets to know you well enough, then he want to put his hand on you. You know what I mean? When he came out being such a nice guy. So, again, mask, mask, mask. Let's see what Cynthia has to say. Hold on, Deborah, I'm going to keep you alive. Thank you, Deborah. That was good. Cynthia.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we're talking about how many masks are you wearing, mothers and daughters?
That was absolutely right on point. You and Deborah, you know, you guys, when we are mothers, we do forget. And we have the tendency to want to keep that mask on because that's who our children think we are. And when we do that, we do a great disservice. Dr. Fletcher, you were referring to Proverbs 26:24-28, where it talks about enemies disguising themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. When we don't tell our children the truth, and truth is always age appropriateness when you're dealing with children, you tell the truth, but you tell it whatever age they are. You tell them, you know, you have to be able to be, as Deborah said, transparent with children, because when they ask, that's the time to tell it. You tell it age appropriateness, but you tell it because they're asking. And when they're asking and you decide not to tell them, you are just literally just keeping on that mask because you want to be somehow perfect in your mind. But there's some 64 scripture about mask wearing, and you have to find the context in which God is talking about these masks, but it all fits because when you were sharing about that, the worst mask a mother can wear is lying to their daughters. It's right there. It's in Proverbs 26:24-28. And Deborah comes along and talks about the importance of being transparent. And while Paul advises the church and believers about that mask wearing and causing other people to stumble. Because, mother, you cause your daughter to stumble when you're not telling her the truth because she runs into some of the same issues that you ran into because you simply wouldn't share with her what she needed to hear so she can avoid the pitfall. We cause our children to stumble when we're not being honest with our children. And then you have to understand that they are growing and that they're going to, like Deborah said, they're going to run into some stuff. And so when we determine that we're going to keep that mask on, we do a grave disservice to our children. Deborah said it, 1 Corinthians 8:9, where Paul talks about and where he advises us to exercise the freedom. But do not cause your children to stumble. Yeah, you have the freedom to keep that mask on. But it will behoove you, mothers, to take it off to be honest with your children. And then she brought it on again. We wear masks for a reason. And that's when we go in to become what other people need so we can slide the word in, as Deborah said. But we eventually have to take the mask off if we're going to be honest with our children. And we cannot, you can't say that you, and I know we love our children. God knows that we love our children. But when we lie to them, you are doing them a disservice, mother. You must get in the habit of taking off the mask when that child asks a question. Because that's the time to tell them, because they're asking. Don't wait. Well, I'll wait till he's old enough. Well, if he's asking, he must be old enough. Whatever age he is old enough to know if he's asking the question. She's asked the question. It's time to take off the mask, mother. Like Dr. Fletcher said, sit down on the floor with them. Get into their world so you can share who you really are. And she ain't going to love you no less. Matter of fact, she's going to love you more, because as she ages and she goes on, she starts to think about what my mama told me. I don't have to make the same mistakes my mama made, because my mama has told me. And so when we refuse to take off the mask, mothers, we are creating stumbling blocks for our children. And that's scriptural. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
You know, that reminds me of a time when, you know, I wore a mask with my daughter for years. She probably was, she's in her 20s. And I wore that mask from the time conception. Angie was probably 22, 23 years old. And I knew I was wearing the mask. But I didn't want to wear the mask. As she got older, I did not want to wear the mask. And I was wearing the mask because my mother was wearing the mask. And I kept telling her, and as I got older, I said, Mother, I said, now, I cannot lie to my daughter continuously. I need to tell her the truth. But my mother was not willing for me to do that. She thought it would just ruin Angie's things. And she just would not. I mean, she would just break down and cry so bad that I just like, okay, all right, okay. But my daughter, Angie, as she was growing up, Angie said, Mama, she said, you don't look like granddaddy and granddaddy's family. And she's been saying that to me since she's about 8, 9 years old. And I said, well, you know, I look more like mother. But it bothered me, because I'd go to my mother, I said, Mother, I said, now Angie's asking me questions, and, you know, I don't want to have to lie to her. This lie has got to stop. And I think my mother was trying to tell her, because even Angie said, before mother passed, she kept saying, Grandmama has something that she wants to tell you. Grandmama has something she wants to tell you. But she never would tell her. And so it wasn't until my mother passed and I took everybody on vacation, and Angie and I was walking on the beach, and I said, there's something I need to tell you, and first I need to apologize to you, because I wanted to tell you this for years, but because of your grandmother, I didn't, because she, it was her story, and I felt like she needed to tell you. She was trying to tell you, but she couldn't tell you. So then I've carried this lie for all these years. And she said, what? I said, Granddaddy is not biological daddy. She said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I always knew you didn't look like them. You know, she said, I always knew. And she said, but that doesn't bother me. Granddaddy is still my granddaddy. And how I know for a fact that, you know, even mother thought that was going to ruin her relationship with her granddaddy. Nothing could change her relationship with her granddaddy or her grandmother. We underestimate the children. And I'm telling you, she never mentioned it to Daddy. I never mentioned it to Daddy. I don't know if Daddy's gone now, but I don't know if he knows that I know. I knew. But my mother never said he wasn't my daddy. She never said it was somebody else my daddy. I heard the children said it, and I questioned Mother. But when I told Angie, I said, so how do you feel about Granddaddy? They don't change my feelings for my granddaddy. I know that she would not let me bring him to Florida. We had to move Daddy from South Carolina to North Carolina because she wanted her granddaddy close to her. She didn't want Daddy to be far away from her, but that's how close they were. I had to drive back to North Carolina, which was okay, but she took care of him like none other, her and family. And so I'm telling you, mothers and daughters, if you just tell the truth, you'll make better people out of them. And she forgave me. She said, I don't hold it against you, Mama. She said, no, I understand it because I think Grandmama was always trying to tell me. She would get to it, and then she couldn't say it. She just couldn't say it. And I said, she said, about weeks ago, before she died, she said, Grandmama need to tell you something. So you don't want to wait and to the last minute and don't tell, and you know, and then you got to be on your dying bed and worrying and wondering. It's just not worth it, because most of the times, if you deposit good love in the people, love is going to win every time. Love is going to win every time. So we took care. The Lord said, go home and take care of your daddy. I closed everything in Florida, packed it up, didn't understand it. But he said, go back to North Carolina and take care of your dad. I had 9 months with Daddy before he passed. And I thank God for that. And that's how I ended back in North Carolina. At first, I couldn't figure out, why? You want me to close everything down? What do you want me to do, Lord? Follow my lead. This is where I need you to go, back where you started from. So I try not to hide anything. If something, I tell Angie, if it's something that you need to know, ask me. And I'll tell you, because the thing that I tell her most is that, let me share my mistakes with you. My mistakes can help you greater than any successes that I have, because your successes don't mean anything to anybody. The only thing that can help somebody are your testimonies, your mistakes, and the testimony how God brought you through. That will help heal another person. Ladies, anybody have anything else to say?
Amen. Yes, just coming from 1 Corinthians 8:9, the B clause says, instead of merely appearing to right knowledge, Paul calls for consideration of another's experience as a way of showing Christian love. So in all of it, when we get to that point where we want to be more for God than for ourselves and thinking about our own pride and thinking about our own reputation, because Jesus came and it, what I love about Jesus, and as I read the word, he never attempted to prove himself to anybody. If we just learn to be considerate and share our experience from God's perspective, we do more good than harm. We don't make it about us anymore when we come clean, when we ain't trying to hold on to the perfect, if you will, who we think we are, and when we are transparent in sharing our experience so someone else can come up, so someone else can become the teacher over time. Our daughters can become teachers over time, and she can only be a good teacher if you have taught her well. That's my take on it.
All right. Debbie, you have anything else to say? We over our time. Let's...
No, good stuff. Praise the Lord. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was a good show, ladies. I'm telling you, that's one worth sending out there. So hopefully people when it goes on to the medias, that they will listen, and that it will be something that will change the lives of mothers and daughters.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, as usual. Hold on. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, this is the show. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to everybody. Be safe. I love you guys. And we'll talk
soon.
Amen.
Love you guys.
Bye,
audience. Bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye-bye.